Alrighty, gang. Here's to nights that turn into mornings and friends that turn into family. Cheers!
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Friendship IRL podcast. I'm your host, Alex Alexander. My friends, they would tell you, I like to ask the hard questions. You know who I am in the group. I'm the person that's saying, okay, I'm going to ask this question, but don't feel like you have to answer it. And now I can be that friend for you too. How much vitamin J are you getting in your day-to-day life? Now, I'm not sure anybody's ever asked you that. What is vitamin J? In today's episode, we're talking with my guest, Dr. Zarya Rubin. And one of the questions she often asks her patients is how much joy they have in their life. And if they feel like their joy or their vitamin J is low, that might be a reason or a root cause for some of the health issues that they're having. Today, we're diving into the physiological impacts of connection. We're talking about how, although there is this societal push for more exercise or more kale or the ultimate sleep environment, that connection ultimately has a huge impact on our health. It has such a huge impact that studies show that lack of connection is similar to smoking 20 cigarettes a day. I believe I've talked about this documentary before, but one of my favorite documentaries is on Netflix. It is the Live to 100 Secrets of the Blue Zone. And I would highly, highly, highly recommend it. But they find that in these areas of the world where the most centurions live, centurions are people that live over 100, that the biggest indicator, the biggest commonality between all these areas is connection. The documentary talks about how connection has a 15-year swing on your life expectancy. Now, today, my guest, Dr. Zarya Rubin, is a Harvard-educated functional medicine physician. She's a keynote speaker and a burnout expert. I actually was lucky enough to see her give her TED Talk here in Seattle a few weeks ago on burnout. She helps passionate, high-achieving women get to the root cause of chronic symptoms and stress so that they can heal from the inside out and truly thrive. Today, she is the founder and CEO of Dr. Zarya, a boutique functional medicine practice in Portland, Oregon. Dr. Rubin studied neurology at McGill University and the renowned Neurological Institute at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in New York City. She received her health coach training at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, studying with Dr. Andrew Weil, Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Deepak Chopra, and other leading influences in the world of holistic health, and went on to complete advanced functional medicine training at the School of Applied Functional Medicine. She lives in Portland, Oregon with her husband, her 10-year-old daughter, and a Bichon miniature poodle puppy. I'm really grateful for Dr. Rubin coming on the podcast today, talking about the physiological impacts of connection is high on my list. This will not be the last episode we have, but it is definitely an amazing foundational episode for us to start to explore this topic. So with that, let's get to today's episode. Hi, Zarya. How are you? Welcome to the Friendship IRL podcast.
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here on this beautiful, sunny day.
Can you tell people a little bit about you and what you do?
Sure. Yeah. So I am Dr. Zarya Rubin. I am a functional medicine physician. I can go into a little bit more about what that means because not everyone knows. Based in Portland, Oregon, and I live here with my husband and my 10-year-old daughter. And yeah, I just really love to help people focus on the determinants of health and maximizing their well-being and getting to the root cause of whatever is bothering them rather than just simply trying to address symptoms with a prescription, this or that, without really trying to understand what are the dynamics and why is this happening to this particular person at this particular time. And I do focus on stress and burnout related illness as well, with a focus on autoimmune and gut health and just kind of inflammation in general. So yeah, that gives you in a nutshell what functional medicine kind of is, I guess. It's a holistic branch of medicine that really tries to look at the whole person and all of the aspects of our life, not just the physical, but the emotional, our diet, our lifestyle, our stressors, our work, our relationships, and how it all fits together to create either illness or wellness and how we can shift that balance.
I'm sure so many people are going to appreciate that explanation. I see a functional medicine doctor. I've seen a variety of doctors. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Not everybody does or knows what it's all about.
Well, I will say from my personal experience that after trying to figure out a lot of various health problems that I have had in my life, I just got really tired. It was like I needed somebody to kind of go down the rabbit hole with me. I needed someone who I've opened up in the past on this podcast about my lived experience and my past, but I didn't tell you this before, but my ACE score is a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I don't know if folks know who are listening what that is, but the adverse childhood event score, which is a strong predictor of sort of outcomes in adulthood, not just psychological, but physiological as well.
Yes. Yes. So that's the thing is like, I got to this point where I was going to doctors who were very nice and would help me kind of deal with the immediate, you know, I was having all these headaches and migraines and gut problems, and I was having all this stuff. And they would kind of treat each thing and give me relief, I guess, in a sense. But it never quite went away. And I kind of realized, like, I need somebody who will look at all these different things that are happening and see where they overlap. And then also, like, take my past into consideration here, because nobody's really 100%. Asking me about that. So that's how I ended up at a functional medicine doctor.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. Yeah, I think that it's not part of the conventional Western medicine model of like that we could actually maybe fix things rather than just treat symptoms or provide symptomatic relief or like here, you know, oh, you have pain, take this pill, rather than, well, why are you having this pain? What's at the root of it? And pain generally doesn't come from nowhere. You know, aside the fact, you know, from like twisting your ankle in an accident, it's like, okay, now that one's really obvious. You know where that one comes from. But it's the less obvious situations that present themselves, and they're really kind of like a combination of factors and a compounding of things. And we consider ourselves to be like medical detectives, like puzzle piecing, and you really have to get to the bottom of it and see, like, you know, that. I mean, look, it's all interconnected. You can't separate parts of the body in isolation and say, well, it's only this because, you know, it's only in your finger, but I don't know. It's kind of connected to the rest of your body and mind last time I checked. And as we know, we're learning so much more about the microbiome and its impact on health and stress and the negative impacts that stress can have. Mm. And that's my lived experience of, but I'm doing everything right. I'm eating all the kale. I'm exercising. I'm so healthy. Why do I have all these medical issues?
Mm-hmm.
Stress.
This is hitting very close to home.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about this.
No, I know
we
talked about this. And like, I'm not going to dump my whole medical history on the internet, but like, you know, when you grow up in as high stress of a situation as I did, I will just say, I'm now in a place where, you know, I've seen all the therapists, I've built myself a great support system, I've done all this stuff, but there is like a physiological component to your cortisol levels being so high for so long that now I'm trying to like unwind that piece.
Yeah.
Because
you don't realize
they're all connected.
That's not sustainable. It's meant to be kind of a short-term fight or flight, and then maybe a little longer term with cortisol once the adrenaline wears off. But then you're not supposed to have sustained high cortisol levels for ages. And your body kicks in and says, "Oh no, that's no good. We're gonna drop the cortisol way down." And that's the sort of the concept of adrenal fatigue, in quotation marks, or you know, hypoadrenal syndrome, things like that, where your body is really trying to protect yourself from the chronic stress, but it can result in all kinds of other issues. And so, yeah, girl, I feel you. It's a lot. And most people don't really go that deep and address those things. And if your labs look quote unquote normal, but they're not really checking all of these other things, and it's just going to get chalked up to, well, it's, you know, you're anxious or you are stressed or you, maybe you've got a little bit of depression, or take these pills. Here you go. Be on your merry way. But we try to like actually kind of solve the problems and go really deep.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. I love that it's actually helping people on a very profound level, and it's using things like diet and vitamins, minerals, nutrients, deficiencies to really help people figure things out and feel better and be able to live their potential and share their gifts with the world. Because if you're feeling like crap all the time, you can't really do what you're supposed to be doing.
I am so grateful that you and so many others do this job, because let me tell you, it's impacted my life. And I'm really excited that you're here for the podcast, like not to just talk about my cortisol levels.
We can do a free session.
Yeah, no, because I think that what I have found, like it's something that I say, that is that a healthy support system is the ultimate self-care. That like
100%.
When you don't have that, it's so much harder to do everything else in your life. And I know that there's like equal, I don't want to, you know, I really think it's easier to take care of your physical health, your mental health, your financial health, your like all these other areas when you have good people around you. So I personally think that this is like foundational to everything else. And now there is more and more attention out there between research studies, but also media. Like we were talking about the, what is it, the Live 200 in the Blue Zones, the new Netflix special, how there's all this evidence out there of like how vital connection is and how much it can actually impact people's life expectancy. I think in the Blue Zone movie, they say that they estimate that connection has a 15-year impact on your life expectancy.
It's really crazy. And I don't think it's something that most people think about. Like, yeah, friends. Yeah, it was good in college or high school. And then, oh, we kind of drifted apart. And, oh, I've moved so much. Or, oh, I have a kid and I don't have any friends. Or, oh, the pandemic. I mean, how did that impact all of our friendships and connections? Like they should be doing longitudinal studies right now, like pre and post pandemic. And they actually have done some studies. They did a study of college students pre and post pandemic and students who entered college in the pandemic. And they found that incidence of things like depression and anxiety skyrocketed in these kids because they didn't have the social support of a peer group that most college students do have. So, yeah, I think that the impact is huge in terms of friendship. And what's interesting is we often think of friendship as like, well, it has to be like a really like best friend or like lifelong friendship. But it can be more casual acquaintances can even provide benefit. Even there were some studies, and it was really funny, I came across a study where the researcher was doing her PhD, I think this was at the University of Toronto, and she would see the same hot dog guy, I think, every day and like just chat with him. This random hot dog guy. But they got so much out of that connection that then she ended up focusing her research on that topic, the topic of what do they call it, loose ties.
Yep.
So connections that are not super deep or intimate, but yet provide that recognition, that familiarity. You know, like you go to your local coffee shop and you see folks there. I made such great friends at my local coffee shop that I would see all the time. And then of course, the pandemic. But I think that we are underestimating the impact. So the impact, they've said in longitudinal studies or in meta-analyses that it's similar to cigarette smoking in terms of if you have a lack of connection and friendships, that it's the equivalent of smoking, like, I mean, it's like 20 cigarettes a day or something. And then it outweighs in terms of protective factors for health. It outweighs things like exercise and obesity prevention. Like, so It is actually more important than these other measures that are constantly being pounded into our head, like, oh, you have to exercise and you have to lose weight. And it's really important for your health. And of course, those things are important for your health. But I think, like we talked about before, it's not often prescribed or even measured. Mm-hmm. What are your social connections like? You know, I'm going to write you a script for like, go out on Friday nights with your girlfriends and have a glass of red wine. Cause gee, that's what they do in some of the blue zones. And these folks live past 100. So yeah, I do think we have to reframe it, see the power in it, take it a little more seriously and see it as this wonderful tool that we have to improve mental and physical health.
I think that, well, first of all, I love that you talked about like loose ties. I have a couple podcast episodes about that. I know this podcast is called Friendship IRL, but I say that I talk about community and friendship. And I say that because I do think that there's a lot of focus out there on cultivating these really like deep, impactful, meaningful relationships. And so I guess I could kind of see why as a doctor, maybe you wouldn't want to like prescribe that, because that's a lot of pressure if you don't have that to go build something so big. And that's why I talk a lot about these simpler connections, because you're right. Like, I've also read a lot of studies that show that your community connections, the people you see when you walk around your neighborhood, your neighbors, people in your office, familiar faces in your doctor's office, those add up, those interactions. And if I really think about it, and again, I'm not a doctor, so you can probably clarify or correct or expand on this. But when you go out into the world and you feel like you belong somewhere, you're more relaxed. You move through that space feeling a little safer, a little more welcomed, a little more okay. If you mess up, you'll just correct yourself. Like, there's something to be said about some familiarity. And when you don't have that, I would imagine you're moving through in kind of a hyper aware, like stressed, anxious state all the time. And you can build that for yourself. Like, you can go out and make these simple connections, just like interact with people and find that as valuable.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think that people think it's really hard sometimes. And sure, it can be hard. I think, especially if you're like very introverted, or I think since the pandemic, we are all very rusty in terms of our social skills, and like, we've all forgotten how to talk to people. And I think there's also so much negativity in the world and the news, and you hear about just all these horrific things happening every day, that we've become very wary of people and strangers. But I would say for the most part, like, talking to strangers is, it can be a really great thing. And it's not that hard. Like, you go to your coffee shop, or, you know, go to a coffee shop, or start frequenting the same coffee shop. And actually, there's a great episode of the Mel Robbins podcast, which is one of my faves that I listen to. And there's a whole episode on where she talks about like what kind of person you are or what you're looking for, and therefore what kind of coffee shop should you go to? Mm-hmm. And then there's like the diner coffee shop versus the like boutique shishi coffee shop with the fancy pastries. And then there's like the little local hipster coffee shop. And there's like the Starbucks, and whether you want to just like get in and out quickly or get some work done or meet people. And so it was a really funny episode. I really enjoyed it, about like, hey, just pick a coffee shop, go there and strike up a conversation with someone. And I actually ended up doing this just the other day. I think it was it Thursday or Friday? I was at a coffee shop, not one that I go to regularly. I'd never been there before in my life, but it was after an appointment. And so I went in, and there was a little old lady, and she had the cutest dog, and the dog looked a lot like my dog. Mm. So we struck up a conversation about her dog, and then she actually invited me to sit with her at her table. So I sat with her at her table. We ended up exchanging phone numbers. I mean, it's funny because like, she's my mom's age and I'm her kid's age, and like, but it was so great. Yeah. And that was just all because, you know, we were open to it, and she had a really cute dog. So we showed each other pictures of our dogs, and it ended up being like a really great interaction that sets the tone for the day of like, oh wow, I can connect with other humans in my world and it kind of makes the world feel a little bit less bleak and isolating.
At this point, we have a few podcast episodes that talk about this concept of relational diversity and the importance of these small, simple, random connections that we make throughout our day and not just passing by those and seeing them as insignificant. They do have a health impact. If you want to go listen to some of those other episodes, go listen to episode 41, which is about a concept called the liking gap. And that one, I really dive into this idea of how, you know, connecting with the otherwise seemingly random people around you impacts your mental health, impacts your overall sense of belonging. And there's lots of the stats and things in that episode. I would also suggest episode 4, where I talk about what is a friend. And then episodes 38 and 39, where we focus on third places, which are basically the living rooms of our community. But all in all, there is lots of data out there for exactly what Zarya is talking about, which is this idea of relational diversity, or if we use an analogy, a social portfolio in our lives. That basically we have all these different categories of people, family members, coworkers, friends, strangers. And studies show that on any day, people report being happier when they have conversed with people in more of those categories. So if you had 10 conversations yesterday and 8 of them were with colleagues and 2 are with friends, you would have only talked with 2 of your categories. And it shows that people are happier if they had hit 3 or 4 of those categories. There's lots of interesting research out there. I mean, I could spend an entire 4-hour podcast talking about the research, but overall, no matter what your brain says, again, go listen to episode 41. No matter what your brain says, it is tricking you. You are happier when you have conversations with a variety of people throughout your day.
Yeah. And you got to connect with someone who's a little different than you, like different age.
Yeah.
Sure. Is similar, has a dog that looks like yours. It's like nice to see, I don't know, familiarity and windows into like different lived experiences and walk away and be like, wow, that was pleasant.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
When I was listening to you, I have seen that Mel Robbins episode. Like, I think it's in my queue and I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, you got to listen to it. It's great.
But when you were talking about that, it made me think about just like the power of the small intentional action to deciding you want connection. So my example for this, or hers, is, you know, pick the kind of coffee shop where the people you want to connect with are. That's a great example. Mine is, and these are just like such small shifts. They're such small little things we can do. Mine is, if you're out here saying, you know, you wish you knew more people that lived around you, or you wish you could make friends with the family down the street or whatever. When you go on a walk, but you're within your house, I don't know, like a radius of your house, pretty small radius, take your AirPods out. Walk the last 5 minutes of your walk with no AirPods in, and walk the first 5 minutes with no AirPods in, just with the possibility that you look a little more open if someone's in their yard or walking by you, that you would say hello. And then, you know what? If you want to get a little further away from your house, go ahead and put them in. But what you're doing by that small action is just looking a little more open to connecting with the people that live around you. And like I said, if your goal is to get to know some of the families that live around you, that is a very small action you could take that is leading towards that goal.
100%. I think that you just brought up such an important point, that technology has really shifted things for us in terms of making connections so much harder in some ways. Like, everyone's on their phone. Everyone is just like looking at a screen and looking down, and there's no eye contact. There's no connection. It makes it a lot harder to talk to people in real life. makes it easier to connect with people online, which is its whole other thing. And that, you know, I've had some amazing connections that I've made online and folks that I've never met in my life, but we're very connected, you know, on social media and like social media groups and subgroups that can be fantastic. I mean, it's different, but there really is something to be said for that in-person, real life, human connection. And, you know, and I do think that you're absolutely right. There are simple ways that we can put ourselves out there more. And I mean, hey, get a dog. That's another way to really, if you want to connect with people, get a cute dog. You're going to be talking to everyone. Like everyone's going to want to interact with you. I can't walk anywhere without meeting like 100 people with my dog, but it's kind of a big step to make friends. But
and then you also get the health benefits of having a dog, you know, like
I'm sure that you're walking.
Yeah.
Yes, and dogs are just like they're so amazing. Yeah, I could talk about dogs for a whole episode, but I do think that it is something that we should be measuring along with everything else. Like at every health visit, we should be asking like, how's your vitamin J? This is what we call it in functional medicine. And J stands for joy.
Oh, I love that.
Like, what are you doing that's joyful, you know? And things have been really tough for the last month or so. My kiddo's been really sick. She's been missing school. It's been bleak. And this weekend, I had the opportunity to go to 2 social events. Not one, but 2. I never usually get to go do anything. You know, when you have a little kid and you're, you know, it's just like it takes a toll. But I got to go to a benefit and an event on Friday night for I sing with a choir, which is another fantastic social thing to do because singing on its own has a million benefits. Singing a choir specifically has all of these health benefits. We don't know why. It protects against depression, protects against Alzheimer's. There is just like this phenomenon of singing with other people and creating those harmonies. And oh yeah, we could do a whole other episode on singing and music.
Wow. Okay.
So I got to do that and that was so much fun. It was a costume contest. Everyone was dressed up. There was like this gay couple who dressed as Barbenheimer and they like the guy had a nuclear explosion on his head and Barbie dolls and like it was the best costume I've ever seen. So they won and it was just so much fun. And then yesterday I got to go out to a winery and I was part of a photo exhibition on 40 over 40. So it was 40 women over age 40 and beyond 40, 50, 60. And we were all, you know, we did this photo shoot and we had our portraits and our bios and it was like this whole exhibit and at this gorgeous winery and we got to meet all the other women and like really connect on a deeper level with all these amazing folks and drink wine, which is also has lots of health benefits in a beautiful setting. So, and I literally could notice the difference in how I felt physically, mentally, psychologically. I wasn't tired. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't feeling like, oh my gosh, this is so difficult. Like, this is a real slog right now. I was just like, not much else has changed in my circumstances. And my kiddo is still struggling, but it was just such a great experience to be social again, you know, post pandemic, to be with other people, to be making those connections and to be like out there having fun.
Well, first of all, congrats on the 40 over 40 list.
Oh, thank you.
Lists,
yeah, it was really fun.
And that's fantastic.
It was so fun.
Congrats. That's wonderful. But number two, I was going to say, like, listening to that, one, why aren't more doctors asking about how your vitamin J is? That is so smart. I love that term. For sure going to use that. I will credit functional medicine doctors and you. But when it's low, what kind of things as a doctor are you looking at, like, or worried about long term if that's an extended area that somebody's ignoring?
Well, I mean, of course you have to rule out, you know, sort of medical and serious mental health things. So you have to make sure the person is not suffering from major depression or anxiety or OCD or, you know, any kind of condition that is preventing them from going out or doing things they enjoy. And then definitely recommend getting help for that first. And also make sure there's nothing medical going on. There's no like chronic fatigue or other anemia or issues that are really affecting energy levels and ability to do things. And then once you've kind of rolled those things out, it can just be that people have fallen into certain patterns and habits. And what I often hear is people just saying like, oh, I just don't have time. Yeah. Or well, I just wouldn't know what to do. And so I try to dig deep with the folks that I work with, and I work with all my folks virtually, actually. So I have a virtual practice. And so we just meet online, which works really well. It's very convenient for everyone. But I ask people like, you know, what did you do as a kid that you loved? Or when was the last time you did something that you really enjoyed? And, you know, and sometimes people will start talking about something and get really passionate about it. I'm like, well, why haven't you looked at, oh, I don't know, and the pandemic. And then like, or like, you know, one of my patients that was really into knitting. And then she was like, yeah, but I haven't really done it in a while. And I don't know. And I said, well, have you looked into like knitting circles in your area? Because I bet there are some. And she's like, oh, yeah, but I think they shut down during the pandemic. But like, maybe they're back up again. I don't know. And I said, yeah, I mean, you know, you're vaccinated and everything's opening up. This was a while back. I was like, everything's opening up again. Why don't you check and see, like, check your local area, check Facebook, check, you know, meetup groups, whatever it is, whatever you've been interested in the past, and see if you can find something, even if it's like a crafting workshop at an art supply store. Like, you know, we have local art stores that host things once a month. And just as a jumping off point to just try something, or take a class in something that you've been interested in the past. And, you know, like, or even if something that you're not good at, you could do like one of those pop-up painting and wine classes where they teach you how to paint stuff, and you don't have to be Van Gogh, but it's a fun experience. And you'll generally meet other people at these events that have similar interests to you. And then you might strike up a conversation and then, you know, take it from there and carry it outside of the class or the event. And yeah, I mean, I try to help people get in touch with their fun side again, or the things that used to bring them joy, and try to get to the heart of like why they're not doing it and what the obstacles are and how we can help remove them, whether they are real or whether they are psychological or whether they're, you know, fear-based or just, we get stuck in these ruts sometimes, and we have to just kind of, just taking the first step sometimes and just doing it really can be the game changer.
If you are feeling like you are in a social connection rut, well, I'm happy you're here. We obviously talk about this in so many ways on this podcast, but I want to specifically point out episode 69, where we talk about a concept called learned loneliness. Basically, loneliness overall is a cue that our body gives us, similar to hunger. When you're hungry, you feel something, you realize that you need to nourish yourself with some food. Loneliness is similar. It is a call out from our body that we need to tap into some social connection. Learned loneliness is the idea that we have acclimated to being lonely, that loneliness is now a baseline. It's our normal. And so when it's our normal and our baseline, it is much easier to ignore the cue because it just feels like our everyday. In this episode, I talk a little bit about how I had this realization recently that I think I've been experiencing some learned loneliness. But I also talk about studies and what is loneliness, things like that. So if this feels familiar to you, if you feel like you're in a rut, maybe go check out episode 69. And I think, you know, when life has a lot of responsibilities and we're busy and we have these things, societal messages really tell us that fun and connection and friendship and community and like all these things are like a pretty low priority.
Yeah.
So when you are uncomfortable about getting out there or meeting new people or trying something new, it's like, why would you do that if it's uncomfortable? Why would you make yourself uncomfortable if you don't see the end result as valuable, as important? And then that loops back to our initial thing of like, studies are showing that this stuff really is important. I mean, what did you say earlier? This is one of the biggest like predictors
of health. Determinants of health and longevity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
it's as significant as cigarette smoking and more significant than exercise and obesity. So, I mean, yes, if we want to go down that road as a society where things are only valuable in our society, if they serve some sort of purpose and they make money. So I think a lot of us struggle with making time for things that are quote unquote not important or don't have value or don't serve a purpose. And then we can talk ourselves out of doing these things, like we feel guilty or, you know, we're being irresponsible or we should really be, you know, mowing the lawn or doing the dishes or doing the math homework. And like, yeah, those things are always going to be there. And yes, we do have to do these other things, of course. But if we don't make the time and take the time for our little bubble of joy and our connection, and we don't feed that, we're not going to have the capacity to do the other things. And if we want to go down that road that we just talked about of, well, actually it is valuable and it is important for all of these reasons, not that we have to prove that, because I think that's kind of, it gets you into a catch 22, but we have proven it. Like, it is important. It is valuable. We do need to do these things. There's a fantastic book. I'm always recommending other things when I'm talking about other things, but a book called Find Your Unicorn Space.
I've heard that
by Eve Rodsky. Fantastic book. And the whole thesis of the book is basically like, as women, we often convince ourselves, the book is mostly focused on women, but I mean, men could definitely enjoy it too. But I think she posits that men are a little bit better at taking time to do things for themselves that they want to do. Women are not good at that because we always feel like we have to be serving some purpose or doing something for somebody else, not for ourselves. That's selfish. That's bad. So she says, carve out the time and the space to do something that has no value, no purpose, no financial compensation, nothing aside from your own personal enjoyment of it. Now, a lot of people in the book end up turning these things into full-time jobs or financially lucrative gigs, but that's not the goal. The goal is to simply spend some time doing something that you love, that brings you joy, even if you're bad at it, even if nobody else ever sees it, even if you like you're making art or something and you don't share it with anyone, but you can. It's just the mere act of reclaiming that time and space for yourself and honoring that piece of you that is like creative or has a desire to learn or has a desire to do something other than function in society.
I love how we're both recommending things that are outside this podcast, because this whole conversation reminds me, there's this Hidden Brain episode that I really loved where they talk about, you know, like, how are we using our time? Because most people are looking at their time thinking, like, was I productive? Was that useful? What was the output of that time? And what we should be looking at is, at the end of our life, what were our values? And did we use our time in ways that supported those values? And I don't know, I guess I look at that and I'm like, yeah, certain things will always be there. And if I really skipped one day of it or dropped the ball on it for a second, like, am I even going to remember that later? But if I keep using that as my excuse for not actually connecting with the people that I say I care about, then isn't that what I'm going to be focused on someday, that I didn't do that, versus like dropping the ball on the thing I didn't even really care about all the time?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever regretted spending more time with friends. It's been everything. And I made a huge commitment to reconnecting with that part of myself as the pandemic was lifting this past year. And I've actually been to a couple of women's empowerment and leadership camps, like adult camps, which I highly, highly, highly recommend. The one that I went to is called Camp Yes with Marley Williams. And I don't get anything for promoting it, but it's just, it was such a deeply fulfilling, rewarding experience. We got to go to the Oregon coast and got to go to Baja, Mexico, and actually going back there in January because it was so great.
That's so fun.
And I ended up making a new best friend in my 50s, right? Which you think that is not possible. I'm not going to be making new best friends. And, you know, she doesn't live local to me, which is a bummer. But we talk every single day on WhatsApp, and we've made appointments to like hang out, and she's come and stayed at my house, and we're going to meet up again in Mexico. And that was just like a real commitment of mine. And starting 2023, I was like, I need to connect with other women more because it's missing from my life. And I know how important it is and how valuable it is. And it's like this gaping hole from the pandemic and from I've moved so much and just not being able to have those deep connections. All my deep connections are scattered all over the world. And so how do we actively go and seek that out? And so, yeah, I decided to try this grown-up camp thing, and it was really great. Huge proponent of trying that.
I mean, what an example of everything I talk about on this podcast, everything you're talking about, you know, like getting out there, making sure your vitamin J is in check. I think a huge piece of this is just reminding people that like this is an area of your life you can impact. It's never too late. You haven't missed out. Like go out there and use your time, energy, resources to put yourself in places where you're going to make the kind of connections that feel right. And that's exactly what you've done here. You were like, I need to connect with more women. And you went out there and you found a space. And like, not everyone's going to walk away with a new best friend, but the only way that's even possible is if you go and do the things and put yourself out there. And you did.
I'm not the only one who did though. Mm-hmm. There were only like, how many women were on the retreat? Like there was like 15 of us maybe. There was another pair that like paired up. And then the four of us ended up going on another retreat with a bunch of other new people. And they assumed that the two of us and the two of them had been friends for like 20 years or more. And we were all like, no, we all just met each other in January and it's May now. And people couldn't believe it. But that's how deep the connections were and how that environment really fostered that. And so it was really cool.
And you probably met, you know, in the right moment for that connection. Like it's just really aligned right now. So it's easy and it's great and it's what you need. And that's just a reminder to people like that's still out there. I like to say you only stop making new connections in the grave. It's never over. Just like keep putting yourself out there.
Yes, you have to. Like obviously it was a big put myself out there. It was a big like I'm getting on a plane and going to Mexico with a bunch of strangers. But it was worth it. It was worth taking that risk and that leap of faith to try something new and try something that I was pretty sure was going to be awesome just based on everything I knew about it and the people who were involved. But I would say, you know, take a risk, do that. Like put yourself out there, go do something, go try something new. Like you're not going to meet anyone in your house. That's for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, there's UPS people and Amazon people coming to the door, but not exactly like a social situation. And I think that we forget that sometimes and we've gotten so just used to kind of like holing up in our house and not going anywhere. Oh, yeah.
That's like the new baseline.
Yeah. It's like the default is let's not do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to put yourself out there like that. But it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, though. The less you do it, the less connection you're going to have. And the more you do it, the more likely you are to actually find somebody great and make that connection. I mean, we're not even talking about romance here. We're just talking about friendship. But it's funny because it does sometimes feel like romance. Like it has to be the right person at the right time and it has to click and you guys have to get each other and you have to be able to communicate. And there's so many parallels and the benefits are actually very strong. For romance, very strong for friendship, as you know. So it's something that I guess we can't really understate the importance of. And I think it kind of has been understated in the past. And we're here to like bring it back to the forefront of, yes, you want to go to the gym? That's great. also go make a friend. That's my prescription for you.
Yeah. Like if you're out there beating your head trying to figure out whether it's like a health issue, a mental health issue, you aren't hitting goals in life that you want, something feels off, whatever it is, just consider this. I'm not saying that it's the answer, but I think the whole point of like my platform and this podcast and all this stuff is like, it might be a big piece and nobody really acknowledges that, but it might be. So you should at least consider it holistically when looking at it. Cause otherwise, if you don't, I think for a lot of people, it feels like kind of beating your head against the wall because you've tried everything else. All the things that society is really like telling you are the solution, and they're just not necessarily landing or moving the needle as much as you want. So consider this.
For sure.
That's all we're asking people.
Yeah. Go to a coffee shop.
Take your earbuds out. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on here and for chatting about the importance of community and connection. If there's any last thing you were going to leave our listeners with today, do you have any like final parting words?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I think everyone these days is very health conscious. You know, there's all these buzzwords and we're all like, oh, let's, you know, eat more kale or less red meat or go low carb or paleo or this or that. And we're very conscious of certain things, but I think we're not conscious of the power of connection and how it can impact our health. And so I would say, consider it like flossing, you know, whatever, just like make it part of your routine and see what happens.
I think if there's one goal for this podcast episode, it is for all of us to consider connection, not just for our mental health, but also how it's impacting our physical health. Just put it in there as another factor, as another reason. And know that if it is a reason or you want to tap into your vitamin J, you want to up it a little bit, that you can impact this area of your life. You can go out there and you can make small changes. It doesn't need to be big sweeping differences to start to have an impact and to see a difference. I know that this episode was chock full of references to other resources and podcasts and documentaries. I hope you check some of those out. They're all linked in the show notes. So is Dr. Zaria's website, her social media, and a resource she has provided talking all about burnout, which I don't know about you, but my personal experience is quite often when I'm feeling burnt out, it's because I have cut out a lot of connection and a lot of that vitamin J in my life. So be sure to go check that out. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Friendship IRL. I am so honored to have these conversations with you, but don't let the chat die here. Send me a voice message. I created a special website just to chat with you. You can find it at alexalex.chat. You can also find me on Instagram. My handle at @itsalexalexander, or go ahead and leave a review wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Now, if you want to take this conversation a step further, send this episode to a friend. Tell them you found it interesting and use what we just talked about as a conversation starter the next time you and your friend hang out. No need for a teary goodbye. I'll be back with a new episode next week.